The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel of the calling of these first disciples of Jesus, those four fishermen, Simon and Andrew, James and John, always reminds me of kind of the time right before I entered the seminary. I felt like God was really calling me to leave my life at KU behind and enter the seminary, and with the possibility of becoming a priest, but without knowing if that was for sure how that road would end. But I had a hard time giving up the things that I liked at KU. It could be silly things like being able to eat my own food and decide what I had for lunch. It could be going to KU basketball games at Allen Fieldhouse. But it was especially this one relationship. I was dating a girl, and it was like, you know, I could go live with like 100 dudes in Conception, Missouri, or I could not. I could stay and do this. This seems better. This seems like more fun. I remember talking to a friend, and she used this story, and she said, sometimes you have to get out of the boat. Like the fisherman had to get out of the boat. And I was like, yeah, I know I have to leave some stuff behind. She's like, sometimes the boat is not bad things. I don't think when James and John leave their father Zebedee and his fishing company behind, I don't think Jesus is saying that their father Zebedee is a problem with them following Jesus. They actually have to give up a very good thing of family and their livelihoods so that they can follow Jesus better. In some ways, not because they have to give those things up, but because they can choose God instead of choosing those things. They can freely choose and say, God, this other thing is a good thing, and yet I believe following you is actually better. That's what I had to do that last year at KU, to say, I'm going to leave these things behind, not because they're all bad. Some of them were, but not all of them were bad. But instead, I'm going to say, Lord, to follow you, I can give up these good things too, in order to be your disciple and encounter the greater happiness and joy you have in store for me. So I always think of that moment when I read this gospel passage, but I think for all of us, it's very applicable. It's not just when we have to make a big, huge decision, like our vocation or what we're going to do with our life. Instead, I think that constant call of repentance is a call to get out of our boats. Some of those boats may be bad and sinful and directly taking us away from God. But I think more often than not, especially for the crowd that's showing up to Mass every Sunday, more often than not, it's saying, Lord, there are things that are good or fine in my life, but they're still keeping me away from being your disciple. They're keeping me away from giving myself totally and completely to you. So really, the act of faith is to be able to say, Lord, I'm going to step away even from the good boats, the things that I think are good and I enjoy in this life, not because they're bad, but because I can choose you instead. I think that's what he's inviting Simon and Andrew and James and John into in today's gospel. That he's not forcing them to leave things behind. He's not forcing them to say, if you don't do this, something bad will happen to you. It's that he's freely offering the benefit and the joy of being his disciple. I like to think of that as kind of the carrot approach to God persuading us to follow him. That he freely allows us to choose to leave things behind and say yes to him. But he can also use the stick approach. He can also use the punishments or the effects of our sins to show us how following him is actually better. So that's what we get in the first reading with the story of Jonah. Now, if any of you got excited hearing that we were going to read from the book of Jonah and you were like, yes, I can't wait to hear about tales on the ocean and getting thrown overboard and being eaten by a whale, you were very disappointed today. Because we skipped, in my opinion, all the good stuff in the book of Jonah. We just get the part where he actually ends up going to Nineveh and preaching and the people repent, and so God doesn't have to destroy Nineveh. But again, if you're familiar with the story, you know, initially, Jonah was not really excited to go preach to Nineveh. In fact, when God told him to go to Nineveh, he literally got in a boat and went the other direction. He said, I'm going to go away from Nineveh. And then when they encountered this storm at sea, the sailors said, who has made God mad? And Jonah's like, well, it's probably me. I'm not really listening to God. And they were like, okay, well, you get out of the boat then because we don't want to die with you. The whale or the big fish swallows him up and he gets spit out near Nineveh. And Jonah kind of reluctantly says, okay, I get it, God. You're bigger than me. You can make me do what you want. I'll go to Nineveh and I'll drag my feet and I'll kind of start preaching. But these people aren't going to change. It's not going to matter if I preach to them. But what happens in today's first reading is only a third of the way through the city, with what I would interpret as Jonah's very half-hearted preaching, even only a third of the way through the town, the whole city of Nineveh repents. They say, oh, we do not want that destruction. We don't know these bad things that can come to us because of our sins and our infidelity to God. So we will repent. We will turn away from those things in sackcloth and ashes. So God can tell us or sometimes show us the effects of our sins like he did with Jonah and Nineveh. He can use that stick or those punishments as a way to lead us away from evil and sin. And oftentimes I think of it in terms of the seven deadly sins. If we really look at turning away from pride and lust and gluttony and anger, turning away from greed and envy, the only ways that we start to change those things is when we see the effects of it. When we realize how those things don't actually lead us to better relationships and to more happiness, that's when we actually start to change them. That's when we want to get rid of those vices and sins in our life. So in our first reading in the gospel today, we have two different images how God can lead us to that repentance, how he leads us to conversion either by showing us the benefits or the carrot like he did in the gospel, or showing us the punishments, the stick as he did to Jonah and Nineveh. But the point is that either way, we have to embrace this walk of conversion. But it's not just about one decision once in our life to be baptized or to be confirmed or to enter the seminary. Instead, it's that decision over and over and over again to conform our lives to Jesus, to repent and turn around once again, to realize that the time of fulfillment is now, that the kingdom of God isn't something to wait for, but something that can be present and at hand for us. I think that lesson is always applicable for us as Christians, but especially over this next month, I think we want to think about those boats that we find ourselves in. Those things that keep us from giving ourselves totally over to the Lord. Because in a little less than a month, we'll begin the season of Lent. Wednesday this year is on February 14th. My married friends and romantic people tell me that's an important date. It's just going to be Ash Wednesday for me, I'll be honest. But in less than a month, we'll start the season of Lent. And I think many of us come upon Ash Wednesday and we're like, oh no, I need to give something up and be holier now that it's Lent, which is a good desire, and we should want to do that. But I think if we give ourselves 3 or 4 weeks to think about it, we can say, Lord, here are the things that I actually want to change. Here are the boats that I want to get out of, not maybe because they're bad. It might be good and fine things. But they're simply things that keep me from giving myself totally to you. They're the things that keep me from trusting you in those moments of trial or difficulty, or in those moments of great joy. If we take some time over these next few weeks to think about those things, we'll enter into Lent saying, yes, Lord, I actually want to leave those things behind. Not just because it's the thing we do as Catholics or because the church tells me to do it, but because I want to be a better disciple. I want to be like Simon, Andrew, and James, and John. We'll leave those good things behind and bring the good news of repentance to the world. Brothers and sisters, let us pray that we will embrace that invitation from God our Father. That we'll notice the boats that we're currently in, whether they're good or bad, have the desire to get out of them. Have the desire to follow the Lord more fully. Have the desire to repent and believe in the good news of Jesus. Believe that he has come to give us not just a message or a teaching that we have to follow. It's that he has come to give us a new life. We simply have to get out of the boat and follow Jesus.